from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions, broadcasting from the Pods Moving and Storage Studios. It's the Ramsey Show, where we help people build wealth, do work that they love, and create actual amazing relationships. Jade Washall, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Thank you for joining us. Open phones here at 888-825-5225. That's 888-825-5225. Anna is with us in San Francisco. Hey, Anna, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. What's up?
Okay. So I recently went on a game show, and I had the opportunity to play for my dream car. I got so close, but I lost. And it's just killing me. I'm so sad about losing and not getting this car. So my husband and I talked it over, and we want to know, A, can we maybe afford to buy this car? And B, if we can, is it a wise thing for us to do? Because sometimes dream cars are just dream cars, right?
I am sorry. I'm trying to recover from all of this in the moment. What is the car and how much does it cost? You know the answer to all of this, by the way.
It's a BMW X3, and it's $50,000 on the money.
How much money do you make? Your personal incomes?
Combined, because I don't work right now, is about $175 a year.
Okay, and the car is
$50,000? Yes.
Yeah.
What is it?
Brand new. It's a BMW X3.
Oh, you said that. Okay. All right.
So, do you currently have debt?
No debt. Mm-mm.
No debt. Do you currently have savings?
We have just over 100 grand in savings, yes.
And what do you drive right now?
A minivan.
What does he drive?
We just have the minivan.
That's it. You have one car to your name.
We have one car to our name. We do have another car that we are kind of borrowing on and off. It's like a little tiny, like a Honda CRV.
Mm-hmm.
We're borrowing it on and off if we occasionally need a second car from my mother-in-law.
I'm assuming you're not to $1 million net worth yet, or am I wrong?
Actually, we are. We are, because of our house.
Okay.
And we have some 401k.
Here's our rule of thumb. We would normally say that if you're a millionaire, you could purchase a brand new vehicle. But we also say that we don't want more than, you know, you don't want more than 50% of your annual income tied up in vehicles. So that's why I was asking what else you have.
You checked both boxes. Oh, and you got to pay cash. You checked all three boxes. When did you, when was the game show episode? When were you on it?
About a month ago.
And you've got the 50, you've got the 50,000 to pay cash for it, right?
We do, but then it just drops our savings to about 50 grand.
Yeah, I got that.
Grand is still 3 to 6 months expenses for you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're still in good shape.
Uh-huh, definitely.
So just walk me through. I'll be honest with you. Starting out this call, I was like, this call is crazy. But you do check all the boxes, but you still sound like, I don't know. Like, at first you sounded really excited about it, and now it's almost like, as I walked you through it, you're feeling more sobered about it, and now you're feeling like you don't want to. So explain that to me.
Well, so before I went on the show, we had sat in this car, we had driven this car, and we had said to ourselves, hey, if someone gave us this car for free, absolutely we'll take it. But is it wise? We weren't sure if it was wise, and so we walked away from the lot several times not buying this car. But then I go on this show, and it's right there, and I play all these rounds, and I'm like 50% away from it, and I lose it. And I'm like, oh, maybe I do really want this car.
Well, the game show aside, I'm sorry you lost, but what game show was it? Can you just say it? Or are you not allowed
to? Price is Right.
Price is Right. I love it. Game show aside, I feel like because it was offered to you for free, you were like, yes, I won. And now that it's not free anymore, you're realizing, man, $50,000 is a lot of money. Here's the thing. You can afford it. Sounds like you guys have sacrificed to win. You've been driving an old minivan. If you can afford it, here's the thing. If you can't afford that one, what if you got a year or two used? Would that scratch the itch and still make you feel like you're being responsible? Because here's the thing. you would be being responsible even if you bought it outright. But right now, it sounds like you're dealing in emotion and it doesn't feel responsible. Would it feel responsible if you bought it 2 years used?
I think that would feel better. I think what feels irresponsible is cutting my savings in half. Okay. It feels kind of scary to do that.
Yeah. You guys have done a great job with money to get where you are. And so you have good instincts. And this is bothering you. I used to have a friend on investments. He would say, when in doubt, don't. And you have so much doubt around this. I don't think it's going to bring you as much thrill as it is going to bring you loss of peace. Just you. Mm. You've checked every box. You're not violating a single thing that we teach by buying the car.
But you've got to sleep
but
at night.
Now you got to pay cash for it. Okay. But if you're not going to, if it's, I'm a little bit afraid just listening to you that it's going to take more from you than it adds to you. You know what I'm saying?
I just wanted the car for free.
That's what it was. She had the opportunity to have it for free.
I'm not the host. I can't help you with that. I'm on the Dave Ramsey show, or the Ramsey show, not the Price is Right. Otherwise, I would just give you the car. But, yeah.
I get that, though.
I think I'm with Jade because of the hesitation, not because of anything else, because it's bothering you. I think I would go buy a $30,000 version of this X3, which is a great car, by the way. They're very cool. Drive that for a while. If you guys continue making $175,000 a year and you continue saving money and you continue, you'll be able to drive anything you want to drive. Mm-hmm. The truck I drove over here today, I would never have dreamed I would buy a truck like that, you know, like 10 years ago. And now it's like, oh, yeah, it's okay. You know, but I never dreamt, even though I had the money 10 years ago, I would never, but emotionally, emotionally, I'm in a different place. I had, you know, there was no angst. I went, yeah, Sharon, you okay with this? Yeah, let's do it. Okay. Kind of a 5-minute conversation. I'm like,
I love it.
Order the dadgum thing, you know, so, but but the first time I moved up, I remember the angst.
Yeah.
That she's feeling. I remember this sense of, am I being dumb? I don't want to be dumb. That's a good thing to have those breaks on you. Way to go.
I think that's part of this process. When you buckle down and you're saying no to yourself a lot, even if you're saying not now, when you finally get to the time that it's now, it feels weird. I think a lot of people struggle with that, actually spending their money.
Yeah. Oh, they do. It's hard. And you know, if you call me up and you made $800,000 a year, $500,000 a year, and you had a $5 million net worth, I would tell you to just go do it.
Do it now.
I would tell you go do it. But this is it's 50% of your liquid savings. Mm-hmm. That does get kind of gives you a little bit of a moment there, and you're catching the throat. You know?
And I think it depends also how your net worth is distributed. If all of it's in the house,
most of it is, she said. Yeah.
So
yeah, that's a good point too. You're okay to do it if you want to do it. But you don't feel good about it. That's what we're observing.
Yeah.
This is The Ramsey Show. Question coming in about taxes. Oh, we get it. Taxes are confusing. But to help you get a better handle on them, let's unpack a question from one of our listeners. Can you explain how capital gains tax works? Yes. There are two types of income tax, mainly in America. A classic, what we call ordinary income, which is your income tax. And then there's a gain on an asset, like a share of stock, a piece of real estate. Your gain is what it goes up in value over what you paid for it with a few adjustments. But that's basically it. That is a capital gain. You've gained capital on this. So you buy a piece of land for $100,000 and you sell it for $150,000 after expenses, you net $50,000. That is your capital gain. If you make under $450,000 married filing jointly, your capital gains tax rate is only 15%. It's even less if you have a small income, and it's 20% if you make over $450,000. But it's still less than ordinary income. Can be less than ordinary income. So generally is. So certain assets can be exempt from capital gains taxes altogether. For instance, your personal residence, you can make up to $500,000 married filing jointly. $250,000 as a single. on that. If you've owned the property for 2 years or longer, you have zero taxes on that. So I recently sold a home 18 months ago, and the $500,000 gain was tax-free. You don't have to buy another house with it. It's just free. You can buy another house with it, but you don't have to. In the old days, you had to buy another house, even on your personal residence, but that's all changed now. So for online software that includes all major federal forms with low upfront pricing and no hidden fees, check out Ramsey Smart Tax. For additional support, if you've got a complicated return, check out Ramsey Trusted Tax Pros, like one of our endorsed local providers. Go to RamseySolutions.com/tax, and you can learn more. RamseySolutions.com/tax. All right, Connor's in Cincinnati. Hey, Connor, welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hi, how are you?
Better than I deserve. What's up?
Great. Yeah, so my wife and I are recently debt-free outside of our mortgage.
Good.
And my question is, my question is regarding my company's employee stock purchase plan and whether it would be wise to invest in that as part of the 15% that goes into retirement or possibly even like a shorter term around 7 to 8 years.
I wouldn't do it. I would invest the 15% into mutual funds, because single stock and your company stock, I don't know what company you work for, but it's more risk to put basically all of your eggs in one basket as opposed to spreading them around like you would do in mutual funds.
Yeah, if you're going to if you're going to buy company stock or any single stock, I would only do it after your home is paid for. And that would be baby step seven activity. Now, let's say we're over there and let's look at your situation. Okay, by law, they are discounting the stock in an employee purchase 15%, correct?
Correct, yeah.
And let's say you're putting 15% of your income into retirement, baby step four, you're taking care of your kids' college, five, you paid off your house, six. So now we're sitting at baby step seven. Do I want to play with this stock since I'm getting a 15% discount? You might. You might. You don't want more than 10% of your net worth total in single stocks, because single stocks are a lot more risk. And to prove that, Connor, here's what would be interesting. I don't even know your company name, okay, and I don't want to know. So, or I might in a minute. We'll see. But right now, I don't. To make this statement, I don't need to know your company name. Go back and look. You pull it up. Pull up your company stock on the internet and look at a chart that shows the 52-week high and 52-week low. You likely will see a swing greater than 15% between the two in the last year.
Right now.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, it's a pretty large drop right now in the last year.
Yeah, okay. And so sometimes they shoot up, sometimes they shoot down, but even a very stable name brand company like a Home Depot that we all know the name of or something, it's not unusual. It would be unusual for it to not vacillate as your possible high or your possible low. So my point being is the 15% discount might just be enough to cover your losses.
That's a good point.
In the coming year. And so the volatility of the single stock is represented there and tells you why we don't play single stocks. I don't own any. I don't own a one. That's, you know, Jade's right. I'm going to stay away from it until you get to baby step seven. And even then, don't think that the 15% is special. It's all company stock is that way. Everybody that has a company stock purchase plan, it's 15% discount. And unless it's a small, closely held company and they've got a different thing. But I'm talking about publicly traded, big board, New York Stock Exchange type stocks. That's what it's going to be. And you're probably going to find your 52-week high and low to be the distance between those two to be greater than 15%.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah, and then it's just if you got a real itch there, you want to scratch, put a little money in it after you're in baby step seven. But you're really not, it's not knocking it out of the park. Oh, I got a 15% discount. I made money before I started. No, that's my point. You didn't probably. All right, Ryan is with us in Mayfield, Kentucky. Ryan, what's up?
Hey, good afternoon, Jade and Dave. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help?
So I have a question about the budget. I've changed, it's been about 2 years now, from teaching. I taught for 9 years and got a monthly check. It was easy to figure out monthly expenses and plan. But now I'm farming, and I get paid five times a year. It's regular. It's kind of predictable five times a year. But I'm having trouble. It's about 70 days, I think, per paycheck or something like that. And I'm having trouble planning. When I write myself a check now, you know, from the farm, how to figure out what expenses to cover. Do I kind of do a budget for every, 2.5 months, or I'm trying to figure out logistically the best way to plan for that.
Yeah, the first thing is farming is a business, and so you're running a business as a separate checking account. Now, once you've paid your expenses at the business, your net profit is what you can take home. So when you get a crop that comes in, you got to clear your stuff, right? And then what's left and what you don't need to replant and so on is what you can take home. Now, once you take that home, then you say, we need X number of dollars, $5,000 a month, $7,000 a month, whatever it is to exist. And then you just pay, yourself $5,000 a month out of the business account.
Okay. Well, so I have how much we need and what our expenses are, and we're good on as far as it's about 5 times a year, but we do about maybe $12,000 each time, and we're good on the farm, and that pays our bills. But it's the planning ahead of time for 70 days, like using the app, like the logistics of saying, because we pay ourselves each, so it's a poultry flock.
Keep the money in the business account. And pay yourself a monthly pay check.
Yeah, just give yourself the $5,000 once a month.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Yeah, so instead of paying at the end of the flock when the farm gets paid, just go ahead and divide that monthly and pay myself 12 times a year instead of five times a year.
Yeah, that's what I would do. It's easier to keep up with.
Yeah, that's probably...
Because otherwise, because you're controlling 100% of both accounts. There's no other players, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do have a business partner, 25% on the farm, but I'm still controlling the money. I just cut him that disbursement.
Then you may want to just set aside a separate personal account and chunk 70 days worth of monthly rate in there. Let's just call it 90 days worth. Put 3 months in there.
Yeah.
And then pay your, and then just divide it, take out a third, and then do it again.
Yeah, because looking at the monthly bills, it's like, it's about $3,000 a month is kind of what we need, but it's like, well, if it's 2.5 months, it's like, do I write myself, $9,000, that's where I was having trouble with the logistics on planning that, like with the budget.
Yeah, it helps to have a separate account. I probably would open a third account. A third account separate from the business or separate from your checking and say, okay, I'm going to move this money, because it helps me to visually go, all right, I just got paid for the month of March. I just got paid for the month of April.
Yeah.
And I'm taking it out of there.
He doesn't need to move 3 months of money into his personal checking account and try to
keep from spending it
for 3 months. That's a terrible idea.
That's a problem, yeah. Good question, man. Thank you for joining us. This is The Ramsey Show. Jade Warshaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today in the lobby of Ramsey Solutions. And by the way, you should be. There's always 50 to 200 folks hanging out with us while we do the show. It's on the glass, and free coffee and free homemade cookies. Come by and see us when you're in Nashville. Anyway, on the debt-free stage, Andrew is with us. Hey, Andrew, how are you?
I am good. I'm very excited to do this screen with you.
Well, we're honored to have you. Where do you live, sir?
I live in Milwaukee.
Milwaukee, cool. And how much debt have you paid off?
$155,000.
All right, and how long did this take you?
Just about 24 months.
Cool. And your range of income during that time?
Started off a little slow, new grad physical therapist right around the start of COVID at $39,000. But then at the peak of my gazelle intensity, I got it up to $185,000.
Wow, PT! Yeah, wow,
gracious.
So I'm guessing $155,000 was PT student debt?
100%.
Oh, man. What inspired you to do this 24 months ago? How did you get to do the Ramsey way?
Yeah, so it goes a little further back than that. Sometime in college, I learned that I should be a little better with my money. And I knew my older brother was doing better with that at the time. So I reached out to him. I'm like, hey, what can I be doing? And he said, there's this guy. He has these steps. Mm-hmm. Step one, save $1,000. So I turned around. I did that. And I went back to my brother and I said, all right, done. What's step two? And he said, you have to pay off all of your debt. And I was just like, well, that just can't be right. I need to get this guy's name, figure out what he's really about.
Talk to him. He's wrong.
Right. Yeah. I thought I was the exception. So then that's when I got immersed in all of your teachings. And then throughout the rest of my schooling, I applied everything you were suggesting to try and limit how much more debt I was going into. And then once I graduated, I was able to hit the ground running once I got my big boy job.
Yeah. Oof. How's it feel to be free?
It feels amazing. So freeing.
Yeah. I'm so proud of you, man.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So proud of you. Well done. So now that you're debt free, what are your big plans?
So, now that this part of my life is over, the next big thing I want to work on is like building a family. And I have Colleen here with me today. And that actually leads me into my next question. And I know Colleen likes surprises. So, Colleen, I love you so much. And your support in the last 2.5 years has meant so much to me. And I really want the next part of my life with you to be to start a family. So
he wouldn't.
He did.
Will you marry me?
Of course. I how dare you know? Sorry.
Woo! That free screen. He clicked that close pretty quick.
I know he did. Yeah. Let her look
the
at
deal,
it.
So I was like, all right.
Trust me, I know what it looks like.
She said, I picked it out.
Yeah. Oh, you picked it out.
Yeah, actually, Dave, I called you about a year ago to the day to ask you about how do I budget for this in the middle of like my debt-free journey. And I talked to you about a year ago with John Deloney. So this is a full circle.
Oh, wow.
Love it.
Yeah.
So we helped pick out the ring, too.
Basically, yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
I love it. Did you put it on? Did she put it on?
No, she didn't put it away.
Oh, actually. Yeah.
Put it on.
Put it on me.
Oh, is that how it works?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
This is how this works, dude.
Babe, how dare you?
Wow.
Yeah, the microphones are in the way of the kiss. Okay.
I love it.
A debt-free scream engagement all in one fell swoop. You're fairly efficient, dude.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
So we don't usually let the extended girlfriend be a part of the debt-free scream. She's he or she, a boyfriend, girlfriend's off to the side cheering you on until they're not. But he asked to do this, and so that's why we got you up on the stage.
Oh, yeah.
So we're all in on this. We completely tricked you. You can blame us, too. Congratulations, you two.
Thank you so much.
Very, very proud of you. How long have y'all been dating?
About 2.5 years.
Yeah. Oh wow! Okay. Well, it's time. Come on, man.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You're working on this. You've been working all the time though.
Right. Yeah. So it's been tough, but now we got a solid foundation to bring the family on in.
That's love exciting. It sounds like.
How did y'all meet?
We met on Bumble.
Okay.
Yeah. Very good connection. We were both in school at the time, and then just worked out. After the first day, I knew I wanted her to be my girlfriend.
Wow.
And I asked her the very next time I saw her. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You had no idea this was coming, did you? Not today.
No. I can't believe it, actually.
I did a pretty good job of just, yeah.
Yeah, you're pretty cool hand Luke up there.
You are. I mean, you are.
Some people would have been sweating into their socks. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's exciting stuff. So it sounds like you knew this. Do you guys have a date in mind, or is this totally new?
We don't. It's we've talked about it. We've talked about future plans, and we have an idea of what we want to do as far as getting married. We want to kind of do our own vacation sort of thing, but as far as setting a date and all that, that's our drive out of here. That's going to be the fun conversation we look forward to.
That's exciting. Yeah. I have a question to ask. This is controversial. So are you on board with all of this, Colleen, all this debt-free stuff?
Too late now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be here if I were not on board with it. And I'm also debt-free, and I also paid off my student loans during our relationship together. And I probably wouldn't have if it weren't for dating him and hearing a lot of Dave Ramsey all the time.
This is how it's done. I like it. I like it.
Well done, you two. How old are you guys?
I just turned 27 yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 28.
All right. And so you're going to have a wonderful household income north of $200,000. I don't even know what you make, Colleen, but I'm pretty sure that's where you all will be.
Yep.
And zero student loan debt. And wow, what a great way to start. You guys got a great launching pad. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for honoring us and letting us be a little part of this whole thing and letting you show off in front of about 15 or 20 million people. Yeah, pretty cool. Not many people get engaged in front of 15 million people.
Right,
was not
enough.
Expecting that.
Yeah.
You handled it good. You guys did good.
Yeah, and they're not even weird like on The Bachelor or something. This is like these are like normal people.
Normal people.
Yeah,
I love it.
You didn't have to go get trapped in a house somewhere or something to do it. Yeah, right. Wow. Look at you guys. Very, very cool. So proud of y'all. Way to go. Well, I think, Colleen, you paid off your student loans, too. So I think we're debt-free.
Oh, yeah.
Is appropriate for the debt-free scream. What do y'all think?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
I didn't practice, though. But.
Andrew and Colleen recently engaged, like 3 minutes ago. I love it. Congratulations, you two. From Milwaukee, Wisconsin, he paid off $155,000 in 24 months, and she paid off her student loans while they were dating, too. And now, boy, they got a bright future. Count it down. Let's hear a debt-free scream.
Three,
two, one.
We're debt-free! Wow. Well played, dude. Well played. Love it. Very cool. I think that is the third or fourth, maybe fifth over the years, engagements on the air. But it's been a while. I think it's the first one in this building.
I've never seen one. That is special.
Yeah, very cool. He got her, too. She had no idea.
Oh, yeah. No, she had no idea. Well, she said she picked out the ring, but that must have been just
window shopping. Well, just discussing what I like. Yeah. I like one like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That kind of thing. So, yeah, very, very fun.
I tell you what, they had the right conversations early on. You can tell that.
It's set up. If you can be in agreement on money, in-laws, religion, and kids before you're engaged and married, you got a real shot at it. That's a big thing. Way to go, you two.
That's great.
Very, very cool. They're fun to watch, too. That's great. So, 27 years old, he made 39 up to 185.
That right there.
And so, you can start putting some numbers with that, boys and girls. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know what she does. I didn't ask. But let's just say she made 50 or 60 or 70 or whatever. Then they're going to be up over 200, two and a quarter, two and a half, something like that. At 27 years old, $250,000 household income and no payments of any kind.
Nope. Investing
15%. If they'll keep doing the stuff we teach, they're going to be really rich.
Real fast. Really rich, really fast.
Really rich.
That's a good thing.
And be in a position to not only take care of them, their future children, change your family tree, but also be in a position to be outrageously, outlandishly generous in their community and be a help rather than a hindrance to those around them. What a cool way to start life.
That is it right there. That's what they did, is a blueprint for folks to follow. They did that right.
Man, if I had only been so smart.
I know. I'm looking back thinking, well,
you start out $500,000 in debt.
I did. At least we paid cash for the wedding. That's one thing we did right. Hopefully they do as well. I'm sure they will.
Oh, no question with these two. I love it. This is the Ramsey Show. Jade Warshaw, Ramsey Personality, is my co-host today. Well, I don't know if it gets much more fun than to have an engagement on the air.
No, that's as good as it gets right there, Dave.
Fun times.
Yeah.
Fun times. Thomas is with us in Arlington, Texas. Hey, Thomas, welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Mr. Ramsey, it's an honor to be on here, and I will be praying for Andrew and Colleen.
Thank you, sir. That's a good thing. I love it. How can we help? Yes.
Okay, so no debt other than my house, or our house, I should say. I'm very happily married. Credit card, everything's gone. Student loans gone, everything. No debt other than the house. Okay, so I wanted to go over my and then please make adjustments for me, because you have way more money than I do, and I would like to be like you for my family.
Okay.
Okay, so my 3 to 5 year plan is sell the house. We owe $129,000 on it. It's over a $500,000 house. Move into a house to where we owe no debt, and then use the money that I was going to be paying in on the mortgage for that house to give it to a smart investor for 15 years. And become the first millionaire in my family.
Okay. Mathematically, that will work. Let's explore other options. You said you're married. The house is worth $500,000. What's your household income?
$71,000.
Okay. If we keep the house, you're on baby steps 4, 5, 6, it sounds like. You're investing and trying to get the house paid off, making $75,000 and doing those other things, you owe $129,000. If you found $25,000 a year, you'd be debt-free, house and everything, in 5 years. If you found less than that, it'd take 6 or 7 years. And, by then, the house is going to be worth a lot more even. Does your wife like the house?
My wife loves it, but my wife is, she told me, I trust you wherever you lead us.
That's sweet.
So I'm getting advice from people much smarter than me before I make a decision.
How old are you?
How old am I? 34. That's how old I am.
Well, I feel like you're in a little bit of a rush to make this happen. Am I wrong? Do you feel rushed?
I'm just trying to figure out the smartest way to do it.
Yeah, I just want to, that's why I said 3 to 5 year plan. If I said 3 to 5 seconds, like right now, but this is later on down the road.
Yeah. What do you do for a living?
I am a welder.
Okay. All right.
Yes.
What we normally teach is that we don't sell the house to move forward unless we don't like the house or it's a pinch. It's neither here. I am going to say it is just as good an investment into your family, your marriage, and other things to keep this, and systematically, everybody, if we're going to keep it, we want to be intentional about how quickly we can pay it off. So let's lay that out and lay out a 5-year plan, a 7-year plan, whatever it is, and just take, $130,000, $129,000 and divide it into that, right? And say, I'm going to throw extra at it. And so if we're going to stay, the price I'm going to pay is I'm going to work overtime this many months a year, 3 months a year. And that'll enable us to pay X on this. Because the good news about being a welder is you can make serious bank in OT or doing some side gigs, either one, some side hustles. I'm probably staying in the house and paying it off gradually. I think you're going to end up in fairly close to the same place if you do that. That's my guess.
That sounds about right. I the two arguments that are playing in my head is the only reason on my side of this that I would not do that, that I would sell the house, take the money and buy something less expensive, is if it wasn't worth it to him to work more hours and kind of go into that sacrifice to win mentality. If he's saying, you know what, like, I like my job, I like my flow, I like my pace, I don't want to do that intensity in order to get this house paid, then maybe.
Neither one is a bad answer.
Yeah, neither one is a bad answer.
Selling it and moving it into a $400,000 paid for house is not a bad answer, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Keeping it and systematically paying it off in the next 5 to 7 years with plus or minus some sacrifices to do that is not a bad answer.
Yeah.
Both of those are going to land you 15 years from now in a fairly similar place.
Right.
There's not a huge difference in these two. You're just going to be, if you keep the house, you're going to be heavier in real estate than you are in your mutual funds. If you go the other way, you're going to be heavier in mutual funds than you are in real estate. So
that's true.
It's the balance of which way you want to be there. And I appreciate your wife saying, I'll go along with whatever, I trust you. That's very sweet. That's a good indicator that you're a good man.
True that.
But I have also learned over 40 years of marriage that some of the best investments I make are into our lives.
That's true.
Into our marriage, this is a trip she really wants to do. This is she doesn't like cars, but this is a car she really likes. Okay. I buy her, I'm the kid with a Tonka truck. Mine is Mama a Tonka truck. I buy her cars that I want. And
if so, she has no dog in the hunt.
Happy wife, happy life thing, And it's not that she's a princess or that his wife's a princess at all. That's not the point. But the point is, there is a value to all the hard work that we do to get a quality of life out of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Good
Absolutely.
Stuff.
Good question.
Stuff. Dan is in Denver. Hi, Dan. Welcome to the Ramsey Show.
Hey, Dave. How you guys doing today?
Better than we deserve. What's up?
Hey, I just recently changed jobs. In May of last year. We have no debt other than our house. We do maintain a $3,000 balance on a credit card, only because we were told that showing the activity of paying something off helps improve our credit score, which we don't really need, but we just do it just because that's what we're told.
Okay.
When I changed jobs, my 401k, I stopped contributing because the new employer was not associated with the company that I was using. With the new company, I have I do have a 401k, and I do have my 15% going in there contributing to that, but they don't match. My question is on the first older 401k, I have about 245 in there. What do I do with that to get to earn interest or to make it grow or do something? I feel like I'm just sitting here.
Yeah, just click on SmartVestor at RamseySolutions.com and find one of the brokers that we endorse, that we have vetted, that you're comfortable working with. They'll have the heart of a teacher. And here's the phrase you need to remember: a direct transfer rollover to an IRA. That means that the money is not coming to you. It's coming straight into the mutual fund, into the IRA. There's zero taxes on that. If you have a traditional IRA now, you direct transfer it to a traditional. If you have a Roth IRA or Roth 401k now, you direct transfer to a Roth, whatever it is. But they're going to move the money from the 401k directly into the mutual funds that you purchase, and they'll send them the notice for you over to your old company and cause that to happen. If you lay your paws on it, they have to withhold 20%, and you don't want them to do that. So the direct transfer is the key thing, and I always take my 401k with me.
Yeah, I would, because a lot of the stats on the amount of 401ks that people forget about and they're just left floating in the air is crazy.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to forget about 245,000.
Not that much, but you would be surprised, Dave.
Just the same. You're right. I wouldn't be surprised. It's crazy. And the other thing is, you'll get a better rate of return if you watch your own investments and manage them actively your SmartVestor Pro than you will just leaving it behind as a memory back there. And that's a lot of money to just be floating out there in la-la land, so to speak. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
And cut up that credit card, please.
Yes, that's a bunch of crap. You're chasing dollars. Get rid of it. Worshiping at the altar of the FICO is a bad idea. This is The Ramsey Show. Dave here. You can find all of our shows with the Ramsey Network app on your smartphone. It's the only place to listen to the entire back catalog of episodes. Download the Ramsey Network app in your favorite app store today.
Hey, it's James, producer of The Ramsey Show. This episode is over, but check the episode notes for links to products and services you heard about during this episode. Thanks for listening.